Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Everyone remain calm. We're about to have a conversation with Sam Heughan, one of the biggest stars in the firmament. He plays Jamie Fraser in the wildly popular Star series Outlander, based on the beloved books by Diana Gabaldon. The fierce Scott in love with the exquisite British time traveler Claire, played by Katrina Balfe. As the series takes us from uprisings in Scotland in 1745 to the brink of the American Revolution, Jamie endures flogging, shipwrecks, survives perhaps the most brutal depiction of sadistic male rape, and the disastrous Battle of Culloden. Through it all, fueled by one of the most passionate love affairs on screen.
Now, Mr. Sassenach, I must have you.
What? Now?
Now did I not tell you I've missed you?
You just did.
But wait, Sam Heughan says he has a problem with commitment. Wars? Well, while hiking, he commands troops of mushrooms, as he did as a child who was a little plump and wore thick glasses and waved a wooden sword. In his new book, Waypoints, Sam braids the story of hiking Scotland's stunning West Highland Way with his own climb to the top, telling us about the father he never knew, his eating disorder. As he hikes, he throws out tents and sleeping bags and regrets that are just weighing him down. And Jamie, I mean Sam, joins us now. Hi.
Hi, Robin.
And, you know, I just want to put this in context for people who may not know, because you're clear how grateful you are for your many fans and your work. But you write that this hike was going to be the first time in ages that you'd had a chance to walk away from being the ginger, you know, the redheaded Scottish guy in Outlander.
And, that's correct, yeah.
Yep, and right as you drive up to the trailhead, the radio is on and there's a news report about you and Legos?
Right, random, right?
Well, because, I mean, you told somebody that you played with Legos as a child, but this is a news report.
I think it was a very slow news day that day, Robin. I think they had nothing else to report. But I got out and was, you know, ready to set off into the wilds. Some woman came up to me and she recognized me from the TV show. And it was actually a really nice exchange. It's interesting because I set off on this solitary journey. I wanted to take time to reflect. And actually, the moments where I met people made the journey way more, way more rewarding.
Well, that's one of the things you learn, that it's okay to engage. But in the beginning, you're scared. I mean, you run back. Is the car locked? You know, at one point, as you're starting to hike, you're scaling an old bridge. And you write, in your mind, you make a cat-like landing, but actually you fall into sheep doo-doo. This is not Jamie.
This is not the Jamie Fraser, the king of men. This is an actor who thinks he's playing the role of a hillwalker, but I struggled. I almost gave up. I found myself lost on the side of Loch Lomond in the dark. And it wasn't until I really sort of slowed down and enjoyed the journey that I began to appreciate, you know, the trail itself.
Well, you get lost in a bog and you're thinking of Jamie and you're saying, I'm struggling with what's basically a countryside walk. You know, he would have been going through here shirtless. And there's a point, you know, you're in Hollywood, you're trying to make it as an actor. You're wearing, it's so sad, you're wearing this cowboy hat because you're like trying to fit in and you just break down crying.
Yeah. You know, looking back at the years I spent, you know, going to America, auditioning for things, and you know, I had bailiffs at the door. I had not enough money to get around. I was traveling around Los Angeles by bus. It was difficult. But look, I guess, you know, we'll have our own struggles.
Lots of bogs in life. But this trip was, just, as you said, it was about being Sam. And we find out who that is. I mean, as a kid, it was contact lenses that changed your life. Lots of playing, being in plays. You go on, you're a student at the Royal Scottish Academy. You did Romeo and Juliet. And as you're hiking along, you know, afraid of sheep, you recite.
They're hardy, those sheep. The Highland sheep are very different.
Yeah, okay.
Menacing.
Okay. I'm thinking of the scene where you were so afraid of the cows, like you tried to detour, and then an older couple comes walking down and goes right through the cows.
Yeah, they breed them very much different in Scotland, definitely.
But to help you along, you were reciting Romeo and Juliet. Can you retrieve some of that now, Romeo?
Oh my God, you're going to ask me now? I can actually, but it's interesting because I think I hadn't ever really recalled it. And somewhere in the dark recesses of my mind that it came out, along with, you know, everything else that was probably secreted in there. You know, I found myself descending into insanity, talking to myself, talking to the local fauna, the mushrooms.
And do you have it? Two of the fairest stars in all the heaven?
Oh, you know it better than I do.
Just a little.
Having some business to entreat their eyes to twinkle in their spheres till they return. What if her eyes were there? They in her head.
Lovely. And there's another moment. You become a serious student of theater, we should say. You know, you're studying it. You're an usher at a theater. You're drinking up the scenes. You fall in love with Hippolytus from Phaedra. This is a woman who falls in love with her stepson Hippolytus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was an adaptation by Edward Morgan, who's a Scottish poet. And he adapted Phaedra into Old Scots. And it's about the death of Hippolytus when he came across a sea monster that rose up out of the water, his manservant or friend who's recounting this. And I think, let me remember, he says, just then a yellowkin cry comes. A cry comes yellowkin from the seabed to wreck and brack the lound off atmosphere. The horses stert, the manes trembling with fear, and new the watery glass begins to heave and heave and boil and plop like stuttering porridge, then humph into a swath that splits and spews among the scummy freeths a rearing monster.
Oh, wonderful. I have no idea what you were talking about, but you do it in such a way. And by the way, it's reminding us that, you know, how much you love the spoken word, how much you love theater, and, you know, how confident you sound just now in that moment. And it's wild to read about, you're talking about having an eating disorder. Men have to look the part, too. You know, Jamie's shirtless a lot. That was very generous of you to share.
Well, you know, I think in reflection, I think there was a mild case there. I think, you know, it was way back when I was starting out, there were a lot of pressures to look a certain way. And, you know, there was less talked about for men. And certainly as a young actor, you know, impressionable, I was trying to fit in to what was required. And I think, you know, it's sent me on this great journey now that I've learned about health, wellness, fitness, and educated myself in it. And that's why I created my own charity fitness platform, Might Be Challenge, which educates others in how to create a healthy lifestyle.
And we should say this is a nonprofit. You know, Tom Brady sells stuff. You look a little like Tom Brady, by the way.
But oh, thank you. I would love to play Tom Brady. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be very cool.
Yes. I once was at my first ever game, American football game. I was in Chicago watching the Bears, and some supporters came up and they thought I was Tom Brady, though I do believe they'd probably had one too many beers.
I doubt it. Actually, I don't. But I want to make sure we say that your challenge is a nonprofit. It's raised more than $6 million for charity. But talk about a valley, you know, in your life. Not knowing your dad, and you meet him along the way, but you find out that he kept track in ways of you and your brother, even though you knew nothing about him. What's been the impact on you of that?
It's been a really interesting journey, and I guess what was the most interesting about it was to know that he's had an influence in my life without even being there. I am the man today because of his absence, I guess. But also, there's other characteristics that I think I've got that are definitely that he had as well.
Well, he was a character.
Yes, certainly.
Yeah, but you say you are the man you are because you are the son of a man who disappeared. And you talk very frankly about, I mean, my God, just the whole attention to who you are dating is just, I mean, overwhelming. But you do talk about how, you know what, this is probably affecting me, this idea that people disappear.
Yeah, I think so. And there's definitely a mechanism, a safety mechanism. I think we all learn from our parents' relationships. And certainly, yeah, that's you know, who I am because of the absence of him. Having said that, you know, I had an amazing upbringing and obviously a wonderful, very caring mother, so I feel very fortunate.
And so here you are, you climb the mountain, you have certainly gotten to a certain peak in your work, but I'm thinking, Jamie, you know, Outlander is based on a series of books. I can't ask you what we ask actors in series. You know, gee, do you think you might be leaving? Because you can't leave, because there's more books. But I'm betting that's not a burden right now.
It's been an incredible journey. We're 8 years into telling the story of Jamie and Claire, and I certainly want to finish the story, however long that goes for. I want to know what happens at the end. I actually do know that Diana Gabaldon did reveal to me
very early
on what happens. Yeah, we're currently shooting season 7. It's a big season. We're doing 16 episodes, so we'll see where we get to. But I'm excited for the fans. There's a lot in there.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you, and by the way, your writing is so cinematic. There is a scene in the very beginning of the book. There's a cottage. Whose cottage is it? It's like Jamie's ghost showing up in London early on to look longingly at Claire's window. What the heck is he doing that? Because he can't time travel. So there's nobody really listening now. So since you know, like, are we
going to reveal the end?
Find
right
out?
Now?
Yeah. What? I mean, why was Jamie in London?
Well, I'll tell you what. Seeing as there's no one else listening, I can tell you what happens. And I feel there's a little connection here. I can't quite hear you.
Actually, I think they're dragging you away.
Yes, that's what it is. They're being dragged away.
Sam Heughan, his memoir is Waypoints, My Scottish Journey. Yeah. That poor hike, millions more are going to now take it and crowd the path. But Sam, thank you so much for talking to us. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for having me.
I tried. It's here and now.